Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Got bet sweats and a little scheduling change on this Friday. We usually talk to Kelly in Vegas at 11 a.m. Eastern. This week she's joining us right now, 10 a.m. Eastern. Kelly in Vegas over on social media. She will have her favorite college football plays of the weekend. We'll get into some Survivor as well. Kelly, is college football Survivor still rolling? I didn't bring it up to you in recent weeks because I was just so hurt. I was one of those idiots that was like, Penn State can't lose again. They're not going to lose to UCLA. This is ridiculous. I'm going to take them. No, that was a Northwestern game that I took them. But anyways, are you still alive in any college football Survivor?
No.
Any of that? Okay.
I'm the idiot that took UCLA when they were 15-point favorites like week two. That knocked out half there. I haven't even looked at it. I know I'm the commissioner on that side and I should look. I haven't looked. I'm going to look right now. But first, I got to retweet the show before Sammy yells at me. So that's what I was scrambling to do right now.
More retweets on me.
Yell is a strong word, I would say. But yeah. You could do whatever you want, Kel. At this point,
you don't have to.
All right, fine. Noted. All right, here we are. This is going to be a fun next, what are we talking? 5 weeks?
Retweet when I do a splash revival next week.
Are you going to do a splash revival?
Oh, yeah. I've got to at some point. I have an issue. Yeah. Sam says I have a problem, and he may be right.
I asked him yesterday how many entries he had left. I'm like, how many do you have left? And he's like, well, I did just buy more. So I'm like, you're an addict. That's what you are. You're a survivor addict.
Yes, I think so. Because I was really funny. So I did, everybody knows John Murray from the Westgate Superbook. Everybody knows CT Betts at this point. Joff, who's John Murray's best friend from high school, we all did Survivor in the years past together, whether it's Circa or whatever. John Murray, obviously, being at the Westgate, can't do the 5K. So we do the 5K. Of course, we lose with the Rams that Thursday night. And the guys at Splash said, hey, you want to do a revival? I'm like, absolutely. And then after the Eagles lost to the Giants, it just went berserk because there was such an overlay and dead money with those 34 losses. Joff messages me. He's like, hey, is yours full? And I'm like, how is it full? It's Friday morning. And sure enough, it was full. So he and I both jumped into the $1,000, $2.5 million guaranteed. Listen, we have the need for action. Okay. I think that's what it is. Joe and I, addict is the wrong word. Action is the correct word.
Sure.
That was a good show. Action. Great show.
Yeah, that was fun. I thought about that the other day, actually.
I always think about it because when you're getting ready, you're about to do a media hit, you're listening to me doing a radio segment at the time. Like, people didn't realize that. So you're getting ready to do your thing. You're putting, like, makeup or lipstick on, and you hear my dumbass in the background talking about a football game. And I'm like, oh, I'm in action for 10 seconds while Kelly gets ready.
That is hilarious. Yeah, I was thinking about it because – It's always on JetBlue, and we're flying JetBlue to this next football season wedding. And I'm like, I wonder how weird it would be if I watched action again with myself on the plane. On the screen.
That's crazy. Oh, man.
Isn't it? All these years later. I think I did all that microneedling and stuff so people could use it against me later.
Well, speaking of Survivor, a lot of options this week. I mean, we're sitting here in the middle of the season. It's been chalky outside of 1 week. But, Kelly, there's six teams on bye. You would think maybe there won't be a lot of options that week. Nope. Ton of options. There's like 6 to 8 teams that are legit. That you can. There's nobody that's saying, oh, well, I've used every good option up. Nope. There's so many favorites of at least a touchdown. You're going to have options. It's just a matter of avoiding those landmines because we know one or two of these heavy favorites are probably going to go down this week.
Yeah, it's really tough because I like some dogs this week, right? You guys mentioned the Bills-Panthers, so I'll start there. I'm not using the Bills on the road in Survivor. You mentioned it was going to be Andy Dalton. I didn't see that as 100% certainty, but I also didn't look this morning. So here's kind of the real reality. Are the Bills going to lose 3 in a row? Josh Allen's never lost 3 in a row. That's going to be the big narrative. And that's one thing I think people need to kind of like realize these things inevitably are going to happen. But I like the Panthers here in this spot. I don't care whether it's Bryce Young, who by all intents and purposes does not have a high ankle sprain. We know he's a little banged up, but there is a significant difference in those two injuries. So just something worth noting. If it is Andy Dalton, I think Andy Dalton is fairly serviceable. And if it is Andy Dalton, the line hasn't moved yet. I just opened up my odds logic screen. It's still 7.5. Andy Dalton, 7-3 straight up and against the spread at home in his NF career against AFC. Hey, 3-1 straight up and against the spread as an underdog. It's not like this man is some awful quarterback. Yes, does he have moments of awfulness? Of course he does. But hey, so do guys named Carson Wentz, as we saw last night. So I do think that Buffalo is a scary one. I think a lot of people are going to want to use the Patriots. And I will say this, Drake May, the Patriots, clicking on all cylinders, they look great, except for they played a team named the Titans and the Saints and the Raiders. I don't know. This is a Browns defense I've been really high on all year. I told you guys they were going to beat Green Bay. I would not be surprised that the number 3 team in EPA per play, number 3 in success rate, number 2 in rushing success rate, as far as a defensive metrics go, I think you got to take the better defense plus the points here. And that's why I don't want to take them, the Patriots, in Survivor. And then, of course, everybody's going to be looking at the Falcons. And I kind of don't blame them for that. This is a Falcons team that, I'll say this, they frustrated me on Monday night. I had a ton of teasers last week, you guys. I ended up getting crushed on almost all of them. As you know, when blowouts happen or teams like the Denver Broncos only win the game by 1, it makes things a little more difficult. I do think you have to be kind of cautious here. I know that Mike McDaniel is still the head coach and he's just waiting to get fired as his seat is just on fire. But I don't know if I think Atlanta is as good as we've seen over the last couple of weeks. Last week kind of showed me that maybe this team isn't as good as expected. I know a lot of people want to bet them this week. Why wouldn't you want to fade all these bad teams named Miami, the Jets, the Saints?
I just bet a cheap, as you were talking, I was listening, but I was also betting. I bet a cheap 7 on Philly. Well, cheap considering the market's 7.5. I bet a 7 minus 115. They're not losing to the Giants again, are they?
I don't think so. Here's the real reality. I tried to put them in a teaser, and I just said, you know what, Kelly? These teasers right now have not been great. So this last week. So just pump the brakes. Let's see how the dust settles, especially we know that closing line has the most value, right? Every single week against the number. So if these teaser spots are still available on Sunday, I may consider it. But betting these early in the week teasers was where I got burnt last week. Jackson Dart, Cam Scataboo, man, have they been so exciting. Even last week against the Denver Broncos, where I thought, hey, maybe this team, maybe they're going to revert back just a little tiny bit. Nope, they looked great overall. Yeah, Jackson Dart had that one interception, but surely the Eagles are not going to lose this game. But this kind of breaks my divisional rule that I don't like to do. They are back at home. Eagles did look better last week. But again, Carson Wentz, he threw 3 picks. who looks better, the Eagles defense or did Carson Wentz look that bad? I don't blame people for wanting to tease the Eagles here. I don't blame them for wanting to use them in Survivor here. Yeah, the other one I'm looking at, and everybody's going to say, are you insane? We talk about betting against these bad teams. The Bengals, Joe Flacco. When else are you going to get them as a 7-point favorite? 6.5, depending on where you shop. It's, God, you got to hate yourself a little bit to want to take the Bengals in Survivor. And I don't know if I hate myself enough to do it, especially when other teams are available at my disposal.
With Kelly in Vegas here on BetSweats, Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. Kelly, let's jump over to college football. It's not the best card, but you have a ton of games that you really like. As far as the top tier teams, like there's a few that are off this weekend, but you're not going to lack for action this weekend. Let's jump to the SEC games, because I know there's a few SEC games sides that you do like. Why don't you hit those first?
Yeah, it's interesting. Usually I try to stick with, I don't know, obviously I've got my 300 dogs I like the best, right? And then there's a couple of teams that I would say like are 1B, right? That could have made my card, but I didn't think they're going to win outright. And usually those are the ones that end up winning outright. But this week, I think I like 8 or 9 games. It's a lot. So kind of, you know, reel back your unit size. It's not like I've been crushing in college football. I've been just kind of hanging out, going along. But we'll start off with Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma over Ole Miss. It's kind of one of those spots where why I took South Carolina last week. It was kind of a lull spot for Oklahoma off that Texas Ole Miss sandwich. Ole Miss, 80 freaking defensive plays last week, guys. That defense got absolutely worked by the Bulldogs. You have to kind of think how that game carries over to next game. Also, John Mateer looked a lot better in the win over the Gamecocks compared to when he was right off surgery, had those 3 interceptions against Texas. You guys like unders. Oklahoma games have all went under the total this year by a decent amount, right? This is 9.4 points per game this defense is allowed on as an average. And so you got to kind of think, are they going to be able to put pressure on this offense? 28 sacks on the season for the Sooners. I am a Lane Kiffin believer. I love this man. I keep going, why on earth would he want to take this job in Gainesville? But you got to have to admit, that kind of is a little bit of a distraction. The other SEC game that I'm looking at is LSU A&M. And I first thought, this is a weird line. What am I missing here, right? If you guys remember to start the season, everybody I knew said 14-1 LSU. It's going to be different this year. And I'm sitting back going, you guys, what? We looking at the same team? I don't get it. I don't trust Brian Kelly. I do not love this team. I bet against them twice this year. Both times, the quarterback that I bet on threw more than 3 picks. So that does not help my case here. But maybe that's a testament to this LSU defense. And that's where I'm focusing. I think Mike Elko has done a great job with A&M. But I think that this short line tells us everything we need to know coming out of Baton Rouge. Death Valley is a tough place to play. And guess what? Before going into their bye week, 13-1 LSU is against the spread over the past 14 seasons. So 14-0 straight up. Keep that little asterisk in your back pocket. We're betting against the Aggies. And then the last SEC team is Missouri. And I can't believe I want to back this team after going to overtime versus Auburn. Kind of that same fatigue mention thing that I mentioned against Ole Miss. But I'm sorry, this Vanderbilt team, this line has gotten out of absolute utter control. I am not an Eli Drinkwitz believer, but I believe this number is too high. I think we saw 3 get taken early in the week, 2.5, 2s. Money's coming in on Mizzou, and it's sharp.
This is such a Kelly in Vegas spot, this next one. So after Arizona State knocks off Texas Tech as like a 7-point dog, now Arizona State is favored by 7 against Houston. Arizona State's receiver is hurt. We know that Leavitt, the foot is not anywhere near 100%. He's going to play, of course, but they go from a 7-point dog to a 7-point favorite, and that's when Kelly in Vegas likes to strike.
Yeah, and this is the team that won out for me last week. You'd think I'd be a little bit more grateful. Like, shout out Sun Devils. That was a great game. They were able to shut down that Texas Tech air raid. But this is exactly what it is, Sammy. They're an absolute letdown spot. And you know what? This Houston team just been quietly flying under the radar. They got Arizona State's little brother last week. And I think Willie Fritz has done another one of those turnarounds that he does. We saw him do it at Tulane, and now he's doing it here at Houston. Arizona State 0-3 against the spread as a home favorite coming off an outright home underdog win. You mentioned Jordan Tyson nursing that hamstring. I don't think he's going to go. If he does, he won't be 100%. I think this is too many points for a Cougs team. I think they're going to win this game outright.
Kelly, we have a minute left. Any other games that you want to throw out there for the Bet Sweats audience?
Yeah, I can't quit Mississippi State, guys. After the most infuriating 9.5-point underdog loss I think I've ever had, just run the football, guys, and kick the field goal. That was not very much fun. And again, Texas defense, very dominant. I'm not sure Mississippi State can win this game. It is going to be very tough to do so. But that Texas offense is broken. We saw it again last week versus Kentucky getting taken to overtime. They got outgained by 216 yards. I like Mississippi State plus the touchdown and then Northwestern. I know a lot of people that I respect on Nebraska, but I don't know why. Northwestern has a tough-as-nails defense, 10.5 points, 292.5 yards per game. Nebraska got to go into the top 25 and then fell right out after losing to Minnesota on Friday night. And in fairness, they should have never beat Maryland, which I gave you guys. Northwestern covers in the series 5-1-1 in the last 7. I think they make it 8, and I think they make it worth a little bit on that money line.
Nebraska might be a little distracted as well. Number of teams.
Point. You're right. Matt Rhule being considered for the Penn State job could come into play as well. I think a lot of people don't realize that those chatters coming from the locker room can be a little detrimental.
No doubt about it. Kelly in Vegas with us every week here on Bet Sweats. Thank you, Kelly. Best of luck with your plays and, of course, Survivor. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Kelly in Vegas there. We'll get back to breaking down this NFL card. And Tommy Lorenzo will be joining us 11 a.m. Eastern. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. You got Bet Sweats weekdays 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Appreciate Kelly in Vegas for dropping by. A lot of games, a lot of sides that she likes, a lot of dogs there. Joe O. Sammy P. So we got her plays in college football. We want to go back to the National Football League card for this weekend. Started covering a few games. How about this one? This is an exciting one because you've got Dallas and Denver. So the Denver Broncos are your home favorite in this spot, and you've got one of the best offenses going against one of the best defenses around. Let's call it 3.5. BetMGM's posting a 3.5 Denver. If you shop around, I'd say the domestic sports books, your green book, your blue book, they're all 3.5s as well. But some of the sharper books, a bit lower at a juiced 3. Very high total for these two teams. 51. It's been a long, long time since the Broncos defense has played in a game with a total of 51. Sam, are you going to side with the great offense or the great defense or just be on the sideline?
I don't know that I'll bet this one. I wish I would have come in early in the week and bet the over when it was 48.5, 49. Mm-hmm. I wasn't going to bet anything on Tuesday. But, I mean, this reopened 47.5 and immediately got hit to 48.5, 49. And then by Tuesday, you started to see it cross through 49. And now we're, as Joe said, at 51. It's very difficult to be on the wrong side of all these moves that move 3.5 points because, as we know, NFL markets get extremely tight by the weekend. And then the books raise the limits, and it's like, have at it. We have molded this number into form for the last 5 days, and now you can come in and bet five figures, six figures on it. So I'm kicking myself that I didn't bet the 49.5 or the 49. A little distracted early in the week, obviously, as we've talked about, but that was the move. The Prescott passing number is very interesting. I don't know that they really know what to do with it because Dak is obviously throwing the ball a ton. His attempt number is 35.5, but the yardage number is only 251.5. If they throw the ball 40 times, you would think he's going to go over 250.5, 251.5, no?
I was thinking about the touchdowns. He's had four straight games. Now I'm going into the territory of some of those idiot prop bet people that don't know what they're talking about, and they just look at game logs. But it has been noticeable to me, he keeps having all these three-plus touchdown games, and he's had four in a row of them. The number's 1.5. So you got to lay a juice, but they're obviously looking at this tough matchup with this Broncos defense playing in Denver. Is he really going to do it again? Well, you can get over 1.5 touchdowns, passing touchdowns, at minus 130. So you mentioned the yardage and attempts, and I was thinking about the touchdowns, especially with Lamb back. I mean, look at what happened last week. This is going to be a phenomenal matchup. George Pickens against Patrick Surtain. That's one of the best wide receiver cornerback matchups of the entire weekend. So the book is kind of telling us, correct me if I'm wrong, aren't they kind of like siding with Denver? The total was much lower than it was. And then those that are coming in and betting these markets are coming in seemingly on the Dallas side. When the total skyrockets into up to 51, it tells you that the betting public is kind of on the Cowboy side saying we're going to see more points, right?
Sure. And I think when you looked at a game last week that was totaled 54-55 and flew over the total, you're going to see people just align with Dallas points or Dallas games that have a bunch of points. And I saw Ian Harditz, who comes on our show, he tweeted out a graphic earlier this week. It's the combined offensive and defensive points and yards per game. So over the course of this season, it hasn't been a long time, but it's been a couple months now, the Cowboy games on average are combining for over 60 points per game and almost 800 yards per game.
Mm-hmm.
So whoever Dallas gets in the ring with, you got to go blow for blow with, right? You got to command the offense and you have to get in the end zone. And it's a testament to Shoddy and the way that they're calling plays. Shoddy's been way better than advertised. Remember the press conference when Jerry was like, yeah, I don't know why we hired you, but congrats. Well, the offense looks really good, and Shoddy has a ton to do with that. Defensively, though, they leave a lot to be desired because Micah Parsons is no longer there. So it's just a track meet basically every week. Again, over 60 points per game and almost 800 yards per game in these Dallas games.
Yep. Not something that I'm probably going to have a side or total action on. Maybe you can do something with props. You know, like CeeDee Lamb, he's plus money for a touchdown. I'd probably stay away from Pickens because he's going to have the tougher matchup. But CeeDee Lamb and his prop in the low 70s, that could be something as well. And the market's looking at that Broncos-Giants game last week. There's no doubt about it. How that one ends up being a shootout with this same Broncos defense. So how are they going to do with one of the best offenses in the game? But I'll be looking at some props, maybe CeeDee Lamb, and that's probably it. Not doing anything with side total either. Let's go to the Ravens and the Bears. Ravens are your hosts coming off the bye, coming off a rough start to the season. They sit 1-5, and they are a 6.5-point home favorite. Four straight losses for the Baltimore Ravens, four straight wins for the Chicago Bears. Bears coming off a win against New Orleans. They visit Baltimore, and the Ravens are serious. They're taking all the games out of the locker room. It's time to make their push. Do or die. We think Lamar comes back, limited in practice, both on Wednesday and Thursday. We find out about the final injury report later today.
I'll be very upset later today if they come out and say Lamar has been downgraded, because I've already wagered and picked and given out Baltimore -6. If he doesn't play, which is very possible, we had Charch on yesterday who said he doesn't think Lamar is going to play. Now, the market clearly says he's going to go. But if he doesn't, we're talking about Baltimore -1, maybe. Maybe Chicago's favored. I don't know. I mean, we know he's worth around a touchdown, but is this number 90% in or 70% in? It's really hard to gauge exactly how the books feel about it. If he does get ruled in, do we move to 7? Maybe.
That's my question. I think we move to 7. My question is, do we move to 7.5?
Could. You definitely could. I gambled a little bit. I'll admit that's a gamble because I don't know if he's going to play. But my assumption is that he will play, and that's why I laid anything south of 7.
I think it's a good move. I think if you know that you're going to take the Ravens this weekend, you should probably do it right now. Because if you wait a few hours, it's probably not going to be 6.5, no matter what it is. Now, limited practice, questionable, then nothing changes, I think. Then things are still up in the air. We think he's going to play, but that's where we sit right now. So if he's off the injury report, if he's in, it's going 7, 7.5. If he's downgraded, Sam mentioned how far this could drop to where it's in pick'em territory. So there's most likely going to be some movement unless they say questionable, limited practice. We're not really sure right now. We'll talk to you in a couple days, 90 minutes before kickoff. That's when we'll decide to make our determination. But if we're going with the assumption that Lamar is in, love the Ravens. Love, love, love the Ravens. This is the all-out effort. This is the kitchen sink game. They've been preparing for this one for 2 weeks, coming off the bye, and the Bears are on a great run. Are they a luck box? Yeah, you've made that case this week, and it's hard for me to argue against that because they've had so many turnovers. Now, some years you just end up being that turnover team, and everything bounces your way. I'm not here sitting here trying to tell you guys that that can't continue. It can be, but this feels like this is everything on the line, season on the line game you're going to get out of, from the Ravens. And if Lamar's out there, I think they might just smoke the Bears. Like, it could get ugly.
They've been very good offensively, though. If you look at the Chicago team total, they've gone over basically every week on the Chicago team total. Caleb has looked very, very good. Aside from that week one fourth quarter against Minnesota, maybe one of the more confusing fourth quarters of the season. You have the Denver Giants one, but then the McCarthy 3-touchdown fourth quarter, looking back, is somehow as insane as the Broncos comeback against the Giants. Just a wild, wild fourth quarter, that Monday night week number one. But aside from that game, Caleb's been a finisher. He's been very, very good, and Ben Johnson has put him in positions to thrive.
Great teaser. Another one. If you like the Ravens to win, Lamar against the NFC, 24-3 against the NFC. There actually have been a couple losses within the last year, but it's still very strong against the NFC. They're going to do everything they can to stop that Bears rushing attack, which has been strong. Good offensive line the Bears have put together. You know, they changed it in the interior, but they've been playing very well. They rate very highly, according to PFF, and like some of the block rates that I was looking at over at ESPN. Really good offensive line in Ben Johnson's first year, and that's why they are putting up points. Good point out of you. All right, we continue here on BetSwitch. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. How about the team that you're closest to, at least vicinity-wise? New England. They are a touchdown favorite over Cleveland. Low total, 40, and the hook. So you've got a great defense on the road going up against a terrific passing offense.
I was looking at the weather. 54, not much wind. If this was a 20-mile-an-hour wind game, I would be like, ooh, Cleveland. I love Cleveland and the elements, but it's going to be pretty fair. Very small chance of rain, not a lot of wind, ideal conditions, relatively, for Drake May. So how do you get to the Cleveland side? Well, it's a big number, and their defensive line is very, very good. I think the one weakness that we all talked about coming into the season was the Patriots' offensive line, because they were starting two rookies. And I would argue, of the teams that they've played, which team so far has a better defensive front? Now, you could say the Bills, but they've been banged up. And Ed Oliver didn't play in that game, if I remember correctly. So the Steelers would be a common answer. They lost that. Probably shouldn't have lost that game because they turned it over four or five times or whatever. But Raiders, Dolphins, Steelers, Panthers, Bills, Saints, Titans. This Cleveland D-line is probably the biggest challenge to date for this Patriots O-line.
Oh, there's no question about that. It's not even close. How did they lose to the Raiders? Do you remember? How did that happen? Like, the way this team looks like now, how? Like, I put them as the second worst team in the NFL in my world. I know you had them in the bottom five. There's no doubt that they're in that conversation. But the Raiders, a lot worse now than they looked in week one when they took down the Patriots. Look, speaking of the road that they're on, you go back to week four, hosting Carolina, win and cover easily. Then you go week five, at Buffalo, win and cover, primetime spot. At New Orleans, win and cover, number was 3.5. Last week at Tennessee, win and cover, closing number was 6.5. They win and cover on the entire three-game road trip, and this goes back to week number four against Carolina at home. Now they're coming back home. Are they going to win and cover? This is, yes, the largest point spread of the year for New England. I'm thinking Browns. I've felt this was the spot for a couple of weeks where if you're going to fade New England, and it's hard to criticize anything that they've done. You can't rip on Drake May. He's number one in EPA of all quarterbacks. The dude has been awesome. They don't have a rushing attack. It is a tough matchup there. And Charch talked about that yesterday. He's fading Ramondre Stevenson. He doesn't think they're going to try and push something that just is not there. The Browns have an outstanding rushing defense, and the Patriots have no rushing game to speak of. So it's all going to be on Drake May if they're going to win and they're going to end up covering this game. I do expect the Patriots to win, but I think the Cleveland Browns can keep this a one-score game just due to their strong defense. My concern, though, they play much better at home as opposed to the road. But is a rookie going to make mistakes? He very well could. And it has the potential to be a blowout. This is just the spot where I think the Patriots come back down to earth a little bit, and we're not going to get that A-plus game that we've been seeing out of them in recent weeks. So I'm on the Browns. I'm hoping this can get to 7.5, but I don't see it getting inside of a touchdown. Otherwise, you'll get a ton of money coming in on New England.
Yeah, it's been a really good two-way line. It really hasn't budged all week. It opened 7.5 on the look-ahead. When they reopened it, it was 7, and I see 7 everywhere. Not a single hook. So it's all 7. It's a cheap 7 in a couple places. They're actually taxing you to take the Browns, plus 115, plus 118. So we'll pay attention to it, of course. We'll talk about it on Sunday morning, both of us. I'll probably play Cleveland in contests.
Okay, very good. Up next, Sunday Night Football, Monday Night Football. You've got Aaron Rodgers going up against his old team, and then Monday night, it's now a massive number in favor of KC. We'll get to both of those next. Joe O, Sammy P, you've got BetSweats, the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Ostrowski, Sam Paniatovich. This is Bet Sweats. Oh, the reaction that we're getting. It's been cracking us up all morning. Keep it coming, boys. I really appreciate all the kind words coming our way. All right, we'll check in with Tommy Lorenzo in about 20 minutes, get his thoughts, and we'll continue to break down this card. How about the primetime matchups? Sunday night football. We'll go there first before we get to Monday night. Green Bay, a road favorite. Can't say they've been the most impressive team, but they keep getting the job done. Only one loss on the season. Green Bay at Pittsburgh. It is the Aaron Rodgers revenge game, I guess. Packers are favored by 3. Sammy, this thing hasn't budged, and I don't expect it to budge before we get to Sunday night.
No, you're going to have so much money that comes in on Tomlin as a home dog, but you also have the other side where people think the Packers are elite. I never thought we were those people on Green Bay. I understand it. I know that they're power rated very high, but I've never trusted the quarterback. Been very clear about that. So this is a great number because you have two factions of people. You have the Packers people. Oh, that's a cheap 3 on the road. Love a small road favorite. And on the flip side, you've got Mike Tomlin in this role as a home dog in prime time. I don't expect us to move off the 3. I also don't know that I'm going to play it. Lean to Pittsburgh because we're home dog guys, and I think we're Tomlin dog guys. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Packers won by a touchdown. So I might stay off it. The total has been interesting. This opened at 43.5, and now we're 45.5. So that's been the biggest move in the game, to knock it through the 44 support for the offense, Green Bay-Pittsburgh.
It's going to be hard for me not to take Pittsburgh in the spot. It is Steelers or nothing. I'm getting a full field goal. Steelers at home. You got extra rest for Tomlin's crew. They're not in that role of a favorite. Not very good. And that's what happened last week against the Cincinnati Bengals as they were upset. Been off since, and they've been preparing for this spot against Green Bay. I was surprised to see that it's the first time Rodgers is facing his former team. I'm like, I could have sworn we've seen this before, but we haven't. And then you got Tomlin off a loss. Tomlin off a loss as an underdog. Tomlin as a home dog off a loss. Like, there's like all these things that are coming together. Not that we're the biggest trends players in the world, but it's a spot that Tomlin has thrived through the years. And when you look at the Steelers defense, numbers, are they as bad as the numbers are? I don't know. There have been some weeks where they were missing a lot of guys, like much of the secondary was completely out. And then you've got the Packers side of things where it's just been week after week. Yes, they're doing enough to get the job done, but it's not happening in impressive fashion. And some people would say, you know, that's a skill. They just get it done. But it doesn't mean they're going to get it done against the point spread. And that's the world that we live in. So are you going to take them to win by at least a field goal, more than a field goal, on the road? I'm not quite there. I've been a little underwhelmed ever since the second week of the season. That's where I've been at with Green Bay. So I'm going to be on the Steelers +3. Like, I have bet this spot over the years so many times, and I don't see getting off it at this point. Like, I've bet this spot so many times with much worse quarterbacks than Aaron Rodgers. And sure. I'll do it again.
So we've talked about how trendy the Steelers are. There are a lot of things that are trite and true with them. You don't want to back them when they go on the road Thursday night against a divisional opponent. You don't want to do that. They're awful in those roles. But in this role, as a home dog, Mike Tomlin against the spread, 22-7-3.
Yeah. It's automatic, man. Off a loss, 61-46 against the spread. As a dog off a loss, 25-14. As a home dog off a loss, 12-3 against the spread. Not straight up, against the spread. And we're getting 3 points. I'm going to end up being on that side. There's no doubt about that one. All right, let's give a quick preview Monday night. We will have a full breakdown of this game, of course, on Monday's show. But we've got the Commandos at the Chiefs. The Commandos without their starting quarterback, Jaden Daniels. He's out with a hamstring. They lose to the Cowboys last week. What is going to be on this team? Like, he didn't have his top three receivers in that loss to Dallas, and now they've got to go on the road to face Patrick Mahomes, a team that looks like the best team in football right now. Offensively, they're there, and now they're healthy. Now they've got Rice back. He makes his return last week, gets into the end zone twice. You knew that was going to happen. The defense pitches a shutout against the Vegas Raiders, and now you're facing a Commandos team that has a backup quarterback in Marcus Mariota. The line is up to 12.5. I wonder how high this is going to climb. Are we going to get to 13? Are we going to get past 13 this weekend? So Chiefs laying a monster number against the Commanders. They were in this role last week. They won and covered easily. Will they do it again?
It sounds like McLaurin is going to be okay to go for Washington. That's a big deal for Mariota. I was sitting here on Tuesday, Wednesday saying, I'm going to take the points. We'll just see how high it goes. And I didn't think we were going to get to 13, but man, we're there at Pinnacle and Chris right now. Now, BetMGM has a 12.5. You have a couple other 13s offshore. If you like the dog, probably just wait. I don't think there's going to be this influx of cash on Washington as a double-digit dog with a backup quarterback. I don't think that's going to happen, but I can assure you the people are going to come out and they're going to bet Kansas City. And when all these parlays kind of roll to Monday night, not money line parlays, but spread parlays, I don't see a world where we're sitting 11.5, 11, 10.5 again. I would guess that this is probably going to go 13, maybe 13.5 by kickoff. This is Monday night, remember. So after everybody's either flush with cash or out of cash, well, I'll get it back on the Chiefs. I'll lay this number because it's Marcus Mariota. If you like the dog, I would just wait. In my newsletter, I put out 12.5 because I put them out Friday morning. I will also probably put Washington in contest. I think the number is just too big. It's a big number off a 31-0 win, off a flex the week before. I think that Washington is catching too many points, and I don't think the Chiefs are going to throttle them the way they throttled the Raiders, but I guess I'm willing to find out on Monday night.
Yep, no doubt about that. Pinnacle and Buckeye already at 13, so I would think you're right, that that's where the market is going to end up going at that number of 13. 10 minutes from now, our buddy Tommy Lorenzo will be dropping by. He's going to have some NFL plays, college football, and World Series angles, including the World Series MVP. Looking forward to that conversation with one Tommy Lorenzo. Joe O, Sammy P with you. Let's keep things rolling here in the NFL. What about Miami and Atlanta? You got a team in Miami on the road. You're wondering, is this all quit? The Falcons are coming off a loss where they just didn't look very good on Sunday night against San Francisco. Kind of, you could say they ran into a buzzsaw. They were on an emotional high. They were looking to get that game for Fred Warner, and they did. Atlanta is at home laying 7.5. Yeah, it feels like a big number, but it should be a big number when you're looking at fading the Dolphins. You've got a team that's probably quit, a head coach that is about to be fired any day now, Tua on the road. He stinks in that role, and a defense that can't stop anybody. And now let's go to our home environment with our explosive offense of Bijan Robinson and Drake London, and let's see what we can do. So that's why the number's sitting 7.5.
Go bet those Bijan props now, because they will only get bigger over the course of the weekend. I was laughing this morning. I looked at his touchdown prop. I got the range right here. To score a touchdown, he's as high as minus 250. And honestly, that might be cheap considering where it could close. When you get to Saturday and Sunday and everybody's making their touchdown parlay bets, they're going to put in Bijan Robinson. So if you're going to make a touchdown parlay, maybe lock in your price now, but I'm more so talking about the yards. I'm not going to sit here and tell people to bet him to score a touchdown. You don't need to listen to Bet Sweats for me to tell you Bijan's going to score. You can do that on your own. What I will say, though, is the receiving yards and the rushing yards. These numbers will go up. The rushing number is 88.5 at Blue Book. BetMGM has 91.5. Where does that number close by Sunday? We got 2 full days left to go before kickoff. Where's the rushing prop on Sunday? It's probably not 88.5, Joe.
Yep. Let's look in recent weeks. All right, last week, Quinshon Judkins, 25 rushes, 84 yards, 3 touchdowns. Before that, Vidal, 124 yards. Panthers game, Dowdle, 206 rushing yards and a touchdown. Breece Hall even got 81, that terrible Jets offense. James Cook, 108 and a touchdown all year, man. Even the Patriots ran on them. Jonathan Taylor, he had a pretty good game, and that was back in week number one. It's everything's going to go through Bijan. Like, there's no hiding it. And you're right. This 88.5 is going to be – all right, when you're on the air, and I'm on the air doing game day right before you, will this be higher or lower than 94.5 for rushing?
I think that's a good number, considering that BetMGM is the high side and they're at 91.5. Definitely going to be higher than 91.5. Mm-hmm. We guessing lines here? 91.5 is too low. 97.5 is too high.
The difference is we're predicting the future. We don't know what it's going to be. We don't have a screen with the answer to the test in front of us.
91.5 is a little too low. 97.5 feels a little high. 94.5, right in the middle.
All right, Gilly.
That's a good one.
I like it. Good call. Bijan props are going to be popular. I'm not going to argue with you if you want to go 2+ touchdowns. That's probably going to hit as well. I will be using Atlanta and Survivor. And Survivor, this is a good teaser leg as well. Another good teaser leg. Hey, it's a week of teaser legs, man. I'm telling you. Sometimes the board doesn't give you much this week. The board is giving you plenty of options. Joe Ostrowski, Sam Panionovich. We'll get back to the NFL card during our two-minute drill coming up this next hour. But next, let's talk World Series, college football, NFL. Our buddy Tommy Lorenzo hangs out. This is Bet Sweats, the BetMGM Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.